Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I need new headphones, Mike.
Well, funny you should mention that.
Hang on now, just in case anyone's listening. I just have to move my mic. I know people don't like noises like that. Anyway, there, I've moved it. Go, Mike. Sorry. We're on recording. It is the Keith Walsh podcast. That's my friend Mike Maron. He's over in Clare. I'm in Kildare. Go.
I just got a new pair of headphones today.
Oh, beautiful. What you get?
Yeah, I got a set of Sony something or others.
Oh, lovely. And love the something or others.
The problem is I'm having trouble. I don't know how to turn off the noise cancelling thing on them. So everything is really quiet.
Ah.
And apart from my voice, so I need to probably go like that. Is that okay? Can you still hear me? Of course you can.
I can still hear you. I'm just talking really quietly though, Mike.
No, you know when you get that sort of that muffle in your ear when you get the noise cancelling and you're trying to record? I just put them on as a sort of a test to see whether they would work or not. They are the dog's bollocks. I have never had tech like this in my entire life. You need a pair. They're wireless, although I've got the wire attached because I didn't have time to attach it by Bluetooth to the big computer. If you're listening to tunes, you can scroll forward on your ear. No. You can scroll back. No. You can go up. I can go up. What's called it? Volume, down volume.
No.
If I lift my left ear,
yeah,
it stops.
Oh my God. Is it voodoo?
And if you put on talk cancel, so I walk into a room and I start talking, it cancels the noise cancelling, which is probably what I should do now, but I have no fucking clue how to do it.
can you, if you walk into a room, can you shut other people up?
Yes, you can hit the noise cancelling again. It's like, la, 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 la. And I listened to our most recent podcast, actually, that went up this morning on them. And that was the first thing I listened to. I thought I better christen them with something good.
Good. Yes. What do you think? What do you think of that podcast? Give it a rating.
I give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were. I thought it was very good. Yeah.
It took me 3 weeks to put it up or something.
It's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's the Keith Walsh podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. Yeah.
That's because you're shit, but that's okay. You're a busy man. You've got other fish to fry. Even.
Yeah, I'm frying fish at the moment here as we speak. How was your? I saw you were walking on the beach today. Tell me about your beach walk. You put up a picture of something you found.
Oh yeah.
What was that?
That was something that I can't think of what the fuck they were now. We found a Portuguese man of war.
Wow.
Jellyfish.
Yeah.
Which was still alive. I was going to pick it up because it looked like plastic. Unfortunately, I didn't. But on Twitter, I think I talked to a guy called Cormac's Coast. He's a tour guide around these parts, and there's not much he doesn't know about stuff. And that tweet I sent out actually gathered a bit of momentum throughout the day.
Because it just looked like, to me, it was like a bit of wood, and then there was some shell, there was some barnacles on it.
Goose barnacles.
Are they bad?
No, goose barnacles are really good. In fact, they're a delicacy in some places. They've got this huge muscle and a really kind of really odd kind of, it's not a skin, it's the exoskeleton. It's a shell, I suppose, really. It would be a shell, technically, because they're shellfish.
Yeah.
And they attach themselves to pieces of wood that float across the seas. And this was a humongous piece of wood. It looked like something from a mangrove swamp or something. And somebody else came in and said, it's from the other side of the Atlantic, that piece of wood. It was very... Yeah, I mean, it was about a 4 meter piece of wood. I mean, it's a big fuck off tree full of them. The picture does no scale. It does no, you know, it doesn't do any justice to the scale of it.
But that is very interesting, Mike, because I was looking at that picture and going, Mike has just put up a picture of some a piece of wood, an old branch, and said, "Oh, look what I found." I'm like, you fucking, if people find branches on the beach all the time, what is so? And then I was like, maybe it's the shellfish on it or something, the barnacles, something like that. But so that came from the other side of the world.
Yeah. Wowzer.
That is brilliant.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have even thought that. That is fascinating. Because, you know, I was a bit like, well, I don't know what this picture is about, but I'm sure there's something interesting. That is interesting. That was a good, so it was a good beach walk.
It was a fantastic beach walk. Jimmy had to go to work early this morning and I decided I was off today. More about today in a moment. Big news today.
Big news coming up. Big news. Mike's big news. It's a new feature. Mike's big news.
Big news. Over to the mic desk.
It's Mike on the mic with big news.
We should just do an hour of jingles one day.
We should, totally. Yeah. Yes.
So what was it? Oh, yeah. So we took Jimmy down to work. He has to go to work horribly early. And neither of us were, we were sort of woke up at 8 o'clock this morning and thought, you know what? Let's go for a walk. I need to increase my activity levels. That's another big news story on Mike's news.
Mike's big news coming up.
Now, can we do Mike's medical news and Mike's big news?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally.
Okay. It's all about me. Yeah, so we went down to the beach and it was fantastic. We found two humongous boys.
Two lads.
Two lads, yeah, like, two 7 foot lads who swam in from Norway.
Hey-oh, hey-oh.
Hey, hello, bro. Ireland. Yeah, yeah, very good here in your country. We love it.
Now we swim back. Goodbye.
We started our Sunday morning snarvy sasta, and then we swim back. Yes, you Irish are just pussies.
Yes. Now yeah, go so home for the hygge.
And we had a lovely time down there. It was very, very, very beautiful. The sea was kind of calm. Mm. The dog was swimming. We found two boys, big boys, and she loves a boy. We attached, I got some rope as well that I found down there. And the boys have got these little hoops on them. So I kind of wrapped it round. And then she spent the afternoon, all day literally, playing on her little pad outside, trying to take the rope away from the thing. So she's like, all right. And these things are big, like big fuck off boys.
You brought them home.
Oh, yeah.
Why did you bring boys home?
Well, the last time we did a walk.
If someone hears that sentence in isolation, Mike, you bring boys home.
That should be this week's thing. Mike brings boys home. Two boys. Mike and his big boys. That's Mike's big boy news.
He spent the afternoon with two boys.
Tied up with...
Tied up? He tied them up.
I tied their hoops and then tried to chew them off.
It was a big hoop and we had them tied up a rope and just let the dog at them for the afternoon.
Oh, fuck. This is sounding like a George O'Dowd story. Anyway, so we off we went with the two boys. But about 3 weeks ago, I think I did the same walk. I had a Sunday morning off, got up, took Sally Ann and the dog and Jimmy off down, and we all went for a walk, and we found these big, big boys. And I did put a shout out on Twitter, and I thought you might have retweeted it, actually, but you didn't because you've got more followers than me. Thanks very much.
I don't know the importance. What's the big deal with the boys?
This is a huge boy. Like you'd see, you ever see Deadly Catch? Deadliest catch.
Yeah, and they're the boys, you know, that pull in.
Yeah. You know, they've got big hooks. So this one is fucking huge, like a space hopper type of size.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We found two of them and they sit outside the front and they've got the name or the number of the vessel on them. And along the top, written in a Sharpie, if you steal this boy, you're a beep, beep, mother, beep, beep, mother, beep, beep, beep. And your mother's a beep, 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 beep. Kind of thing. Somebody, you know, obviously lots of people steal these boys all over the place.
But you haven't stolen them.
No, I think that's come off a Canadian boat, obviously, and it's made its way here. So there's a thing around here. You take three for the sea. Every day, if you go to the beach, you take three pieces of plastic back home with you.
Okay, so you're cleaning up the beaches, basically. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, taking all the rope and shit and everything back. Yeah, it stinks though, the fucking car. Because lots of these goose barnacles attach themselves to all sorts of stuff. And you get these, if you take any wood back or anything that's got plastic on it and you want to get rid of it, they've got these big kind of lug worms that live in the wood and they kind of come out like, you know, when a dog gets excited. You know, and they kind of poke their heads. Oh, fuck. You know, and they stink off them. A fucking manky. But hey, listen, you know, take three for the sea. Take four for the shore. There's another one.
Take five.
For the dive.
Very good.
Yeah. Take six for the pricks.
Who threw it in? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Take, yeah. Yeah.
Take seven. You're going to heaven.
Heaven. Yeah.
Yeah. Take eight.
Take eight for the bait.
Pearly gates. Oh, the bait. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll keep it nautical.
Take nine. That's
fishing
fine.
Line.
Fishing line.
Take 10. You're, I can see you thinking there, like you got your advert exec head on. Take 10. Take 10.
Ooh. Oh. We leave that open. We leave that open to the listeners. Email.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Keith Walsh pod. KeithWalshPod@gmail.com. Loads of people will email, I'm sure.
They will.
That's cool, man, that you're going to the beach and you're cleaning up after the rest of us dirty divils.
A lot of it is sort of mistakes. Stuff comes off boats and whatever. But I mean, there's all sorts of nets they just cut. You know, the trawler men have an awful lot to answer for, really. You know, raping the sea of the life in it and then just putting plastic in. I mean, fuck's sake. What the fuck are we doing? You know, this whole COP26 thing has been on and I've been kind of ignoring it because nobody's going to do anything. It's just fucking depressing. Well, yeah. It's fucked. We're all fucked.
I think that we're outnumbered, Mike, you see. And I'm not saying like, because I'm not as good as you, like, but I recycle and I do my best. But I think we're outnumbered. Like, there's a lot of people in the world that could not give two fucks. And I don't mean this in any sort of like, I'm not judging them. I'm just saying they just don't give a fuck. Like if someone sees a river and they have an empty packet of fags, they just see the river as the, you know, so as a, they don't see it as a piece of, as a part, an important part of the infrastructure of the earth and an important, you know, and the role the fish have to play in our lives and all this, they just see a fucking river. They don't, it's just water. It's just an old ditch or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like
I do, yeah.
People just don't think like that. And
I certainly don't judge people who are certainly less well off and in developing countries who have very other few choices. You know, they a lot of them have litter issues and we're giving them plastic. They didn't, you know, and we're taking their coal. We're saying, oh, they're really bad for mining coal, but we're burning it. You're really bad at chopping down trees, but we're using them. Beep!
I'm fucking a bit of editing to do now. Fuck you, Mike.
You know, but other, you know, we are. We're, you know, the more we want, you know, it's, and people say, oh, yeah, but the Chinese, they're building a power station, a coal-fired power station every week. Yeah, but you're buying shit from China. You're the problem.
Yeah, I think that was the big thing that came out of COP26 is we just need to stop buying shit. Stop buying shit. We don't need all the shit. No. Stop buying it. No. Electrical cars aren't going to... We've been here before. We've been over this, Mike, before. You know, electric cars aren't going to fix the problem.
No.
We can't keep kicking it down the road. And more issues like COVID and that are going to keep coming up. And we just can't just keep coming up with vaccines. We just need to stop wanting new shit and cheap things. That's the end of it. And you know, that's the problem. Are we willing to, you know, give up by being able to buy something shitty from China?
It appears not. Not yet.
No. No. But look, thank you, Mike, for being out there this morning on the shoreline and and bringing home the boys. Come on, you boys in green.
That's what Tommy and Hector sing. They sing that all the time, don't they?
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Come on, you girls in green. La la la. Yeah, yeah. They do
because of Mead.
Team. Mead. Yeah, Mead. Yeah. Yeah.
They're from Nav and from Mead. How
did Kildare do? Or was it Kildare or was it
some Sarsfields? It's the local club here in Newbridge, and we were playing Naas. So they're
bastards.
So there's a rivalry in Newbridge. There's Sarsfields, Moorfield, they're the two teams in Newbridge, and then Naas is the other town. There's a rivalry between Newbridge and because they're Shelbyville and we're Springfield. And we lost, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, we lost by 2 points in the end, and there was a goal that we scored that the ref disallowed, so we're still not sure why that happened, but that was sort of annoying because we probably should have had that goal and it didn't happen. So, you know, but look, you know, well done to Naas, who happened... haven't won in a long time. I think it's 30 years or something since they won.
Fuck Naas. If there was a dodgy goal, I want it out.
Yeah,
there.
I think there should be a replay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think I'm calling out for a replay, but it was good. I went with my daughter and we had a good time. So, you know, it's good, wholesome family fun. You know, there's none of this, very little racism being shouted on the pitch, you know, apart from like, piss off Naas wankers. Is that wouldn't be racist though. That's kind of that's more Naasist.
Yeah, well, that's correct. I think it's not racist. It's just that's the truth. Naas fucks
Naasist.
So, and Kilmurry Ibrickan lost here today actually as well in the senior football final. Was it hurling in Kildare?
No, it was football. We're not a hurling stronghold, really. We're getting better, but it's football really is the big thing. So Kilmurry and Brickin, they lost. Who did they lose to?
They lost to Aeroge.
Oh, okay. But Aeroge are good, aren't they?
Well, not as good as Kilmurry or Brickin. Apparently. So. I know fuck all about it as well, you know. But Aeroge are Ennis. And I listened just to really piss my friends off. And I gave my own running commentary. Because every time... they say it's 3-4 to 1-7. I go, oh, that's 16-11. Then, well, why don't you just do that? It's easier. You know what I mean? So I kept doing that on the WhatsApp group that we have. And then I got taken off the group and then I got put back on.
I do hate it when the sports guy says that. He says 3-17 to 2-15. And I'm like, fucking hell, what? Who won? So who won? Jesus Christ! Yeah. You know,
it's mental maths. It's really difficult.
Yeah,
and you know, it's all it's like odd numbers as well. It's wrong.
I saw an American lady on TikTok explaining the scoring system for Gaelic football or hurling.
Oh yeah,
and it looked weird. You know, when she was explaining it, she was like, "So if the ball goes in here, that's a goal, and that is worth 3 points. And then and this is how they show the scores. So three of these is three. That's 9, and then." Just go, what? It's fucking... Why don't they just have the score as...
Yeah.
Just put up the points. Put up the points.
Say, but what gets me, though, is when you're talking about that, rugby. So if you kick it over the bar in rugby, it's 3 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you convert a try, kicking it over the bar, it's 2 points.
Yeah.
What the fuck's that all about?
I don't know. I don't know why that is. But at least with rugby, they just show the points. Like, you know what the score is straight away.
You do, yeah. But I mean, you know, if you're trying to explain that from somebody from outer space, it's in normal times, it's 3 points over that way. But now, because he's run over the ball or run over the line with the ball in his hands, when you kick it over immediately afterwards, it's only 2.
Yeah, but also, and then recently they changed it. A try used to be 4 points, and they changed it a few years ago. It could have been 20 years ago, maybe more. They changed it to 5 points.
Was it?
Yeah, to make the try more, you know, because people just stop scoring tries. Like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth even trying to try. We just kick, you know, because it was only a point in the difference. Yeah,
I never knew that. Well, do you know what the weight of a slitter is?
It is 15 grams. Half an ounce. 2 pounds. 5 pounds. £4.50. 4.17 to 3.8.
I've no idea either, but I saw that as somebody put it up somewhere. What's the weight of a slitter? I'm sure there must be
There's like many...
A regular, a regulation weight.
There doesn't seem to be, like, there's many, many slitters, and that seems to be an issue at the moment. Like, there should be a regulation weight. There's probably, like, a weight that it has to be between, you know, has less than a ton and more than a gram. But I'm actually, I've never actually Googled. Like different, like, you
can. I'm going to say 136 grams. No, wouldn't be 136 grams.
I have no idea how big, between 110 and 120 grams.
Wow, that's not much, is it?
No.
But then I need that much pasta.
But then if it's wet.
Exactly, yeah. These things soak up, like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'd be very heavy as well. Yeah. If you get a slap in the leg with a wet slipper, that's nasty. On a cold day, that's literally the worst. Mike, I need to hear your big news.
Big news. Do you want
Mike's big news? Big news.
So my big news and my big health news are kind of interspersed.
Okay.
So I think 23 years ago today, okay, I found out that I was infertile. Okay. This week, I found out that I don't have a dodgy mole on my skin, which was really good because I was fucking worried because
Mike.
I was taking my t-shirt off the other day and I, something catches and you think, oh, ow, that's a bit sore. And under my sort of underarm here on my oversized stomach was a spot. And I was trying to take pictures of it, and I said to Sally, because I was trying to take pictures of it. And then she looked at it and went, ooh. I think you might want to go see the doctor about that one.
And
And this is fucking Vesuvius. Like, this is black, And the worst thing you can do is fucking Google stuff when you see a big black. I'm moliferous. I'm covered, as my mother used to say, he's got a lot of beauty spots.
Mike, Manny Mole Mike.
I'm very molylicious. but this one, once you realize, and then you can feel it, and then it gets a little bit sore, and then it starts erupting, and there's blood and everything, you think, oh, fuck. Oh, fuckity McFuck fuck.
Yeah.
So anyway, I rang my quack. Now, I know my quack very well, and I rang him up. I said, listen, Michael, is there any chance you can see me? I'm off on Thursday. Yeah, what is it? Mole. Tricky. I said, it's a bit fucked. I need to come see you. Cool. Come in Thursday, 12-ish. I'll see you then.
Oh, no. What day was this you called him? How long did you have to wait?
He said, oh, you come in now if you want. I said, no, I'm at work. Because I had the day off Thursday and I thought, I'll go in. It's been there a while. So a couple of days isn't going to do anything. Although in my head, it built up to, there I am having chemotherapy, waving goodbye to everyone, getting all my affairs in order and all sorts of stuff. I was
be great for the podcast, though.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. So, you know what? That actually came in my mind. I could tear the ass out of it and get a Sony award. Free headphones.
We could change it to the Keep Watch podcast to Mike's Big Cancer podcast.
That's not fucking funny. I'll tell you. Oh, fuck. Anyway, I get to the fucking surgery. I'm a couple of minutes late, and he's there, and he's helping this older person in with their carer and whatever. And he's looking at me, he goes, give us a hand then, you lazy fuck. And I'm going, I can't, COVID. You can't do that. So anyway, that lady or that person went in. The lady went in the lady carer went in with the person, and between the jigs and the reels, all of a sudden, there's people coming out to me saying, listen, it's going to be a while. The person in there has taken a bit of a turn. Are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, no problem at all. I have an email to write. And I really want to get some shit off my chest with some stuff that I had to send an RC email to the ombudsman. And I thought, fuck, I'll get this some the bile because I'm going to be dead next week. I'm going to write like I'm going to die. And fuck me, I tell you what, does that give you a power?
Wow.
That's a superpower. You should do that. Oh man, I was like fucking fuck with my fingers like this, whatever.
Right, right like you're dying, Mike. I love
it. Yeah, right like you're dying. So I wrote like I was dying, and then half an hour went, then 45 minutes went, and then all they said, listen, we're going to have to call an ambulance for that person. So the doctor's going to stay with her. Are you okay to stay? And I said, yeah, I'm on a roll here. I've got some emails to do. So I'm just doing it on my phone. Right. Okay. You okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, angry man. And he came around, he popped his head around. He said, it's just a mole, isn't it? We'll have a look at that in a couple of minutes. I'll probably have to refer you to somebody else anyway. So we'll do it. We'll take a picture. We'll take an old scrape. Off you go. I'll see you in 10 minutes. Anyway, 10 minutes turned into an hour and a half. I was sitting in the fucking place. And of course, the ambulance comes, blue lights all over the place, scurries of people all over the place. And all of a sudden, I'm ushered in to take to have a look at the thing. So he looks down on it and he gets the old light on it and he goes, yeah. Whew. He said, is that sore? I went, yeah. Fucking hell. He said, never seen that. Never seen one that big. I went, oh, fucking hell. He said, no, don't worry. He said, it's just a wart. It is a wart that you get as you get older, and these things have a habit of just going bloop. And he said, it's going to scab up. It's going to be ugly for a couple of weeks, and it's just going to fall off, and you'll just see a normal mole. And I went, oh, praise the Lord Jesus.
Ooh.
Like the palpable relief. And I was lying down on my side on the bench, you know, and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a classic thing now. I said, Mike, to the doctor, I said, I'm going to do a classic thing. I'm going to do what men always do. And, you know, we don't go to the doctor with one. We store them up with one issue. And I said, by the way, I've been feeling a little bit dizzy. And he went, oh, when? I said, funnily enough, I said, it's not when I stand up. It can be any time. I said, when I was in the shower this morning, I turned around to get soap, felt a little bit woozy. When I was in bed looking at my phone the other morning, I felt a little bit woozy. I said, I don't know whether it's my eyesight or whatever. And he said, sit up there for me. And he did this whole follow my hand here, follow my hand there. He said, yeah, well, good news is you haven't got a brain tumor.
Hey, nice result.
He said, well, yeah, we'll check your blood pressure. I said, okay, yeah. I said, I don't think I have any issues because my watch surely would tell me that I had issues because I do these little stress tests on it. And I'm always like low green and I'm always like my heartbeat is fairly normal and stuff like that. And he said, yeah, sit down there and we'll do an old blood pressure test. So did a blood pressure test. And I'm looking at it and he's going, he said, we might just do that again. I think my machine is broken. And then he goes, yeah, he said, and I was talking to him because he was talking about how he's going to retire and stuff. And he said, I'll tell you what, we're going to do it again, he said, for a third time, because I think you talking is putting it off. He said, do it. Okay, do some breathing or whatever. So I'm sitting there. He said, are you nervous? I said, no, not at all. Sitting there, and he's going, fucking hell. We're going to do it again.
Oh, my God, this is number four.
Holy yeah, he said, and he said, I don't want you to panic. At which fucking point I went, what? A panic about what? He said, have you had it tested? Like, we tested it before. It wasn't bad, was it? I said, no, but it wasn't high. It wasn't low. And he said, fuck, this is off the charts. High fucking blood pressure. So Mike's big news on the 23rd anniversary of being infertile is that my blood pressure is now through the fucking roof. And the reason I know these dates is because it's my birthday today.
Oh, Mike!
Hence the new headphones. So,
happy birthday!
Thank you. 7th of November, for anybody out there who wishes to remember me next year. Yeah, I just... fucking the gift of light, you know, and now I am absolutely paranoid about sugar, salt, alcohol, and whatever. And I've got to go in next week and get one of these monitors that they stick you on for, you know, for a day that kind of goes and it takes your blood pressure every 15 minutes or whatever over a 24-hour or 36-hour period. So I've got to go and do that. And he said, we'll have to manage that. He said, we're looking at, we're in management territory. But it was the don't panic.
Yeah, yeah. Don't. what does one do when someone says don't panic? Fucking panic.
Yeah, panic. Yeah.
Shit, Mike.
Yeah.
Shit a brick, Mike.
Yeah. Have you got high blood pressure?
I have no idea.
Yeah. It's a fucking silent killer. That's the thing. I said to Sally Ann, I'm like a walking fucking time bomb. I could go boom any minute. I mean,
in what way? Like, how would it take you down? Just
stroke, heart attack, whatever, bursting vessels.
And what are the reasons? Like, I mean, I know some people just have naturally high blood pressure, but what is it? Like diet? Is it exercise? Is it?
It can be diet. It can be overweight. It can be alcohol. It can be sugar. It can be fat. It can be salt. It can be pretty much anything. Now, I have to say, I am not a medical professional, but I hope to fuck that this is just an anomalous reading, because the drugs that, because then you start Googling high blood pressure.
Yeah.
And then I put in the numbers. I'm not going to give you the numbers because I don't want to scare anyone who's got high blood pressure or not high blood pressure. And they've got a blood pressure machine that their Auntie Doris left them, and they go, and all of a sudden they go, oh Jesus. So yeah, I mean, go see your doctor. That's all I can say. Get a checkup. If you've got any spots, get them checked. Blood pressure, ask them to do it. That's what I would say.
And your symptoms were that you felt dizzy.
That's the only symptom I've got, is I feel a tiny bit dizzy every once in a while. Yeah. But it's funny because once you accept the fact that you're dizzy, because you put it to the back of your mind.
Yeah. You just go,
I'm just a bit dizzy.
It
must be my neck. I thought I was full sure it was my neck was playing up or something, but it's like, so if I'm looking at the wall here and then I turn to look at you, all of a sudden, it's like when you're tripping.
Oh.
It kind of catches up.
You get tracers.
Yeah. That's a word. Yeah, I didn't realize that was a word. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah,
you get,
yeah,
tracers. That is exactly it. Yeah.
Mike, I'm sorry to hear that. And
that's okay. I mean, listen, it's going to be perfectly manageable, but I'm going to.
But the great thing is you're on it, you're aware of it. It could have just taken you out when you weren't, if you weren't aware of it.
Having said that, Sally Ann asked me for what my birthday cake was going to be this year, and I went for a Maltesers cheesecake.
Woo! Probably not sugar. I'd say sugar isn't the problem, Mike. I'd say it's something else.
It seems to be that it's hereditary, I would have said.
Okay. But sure, they can give you pills and drugs and fucking, you know.
They do, but the drugs have awful side effects.
You go infertile.
Yeah. No, you lose. You become like impotent, and not in a like a big suit wearing man.
He's real important around here.
you can do. There is all sorts of side effects to taking blood pressure pills. So, I think.
Are you planning on? You're planning on still having sex
With myself? Very much. And lots of it.
That's the high blood pressure. How often do you, as a doctor, is like, so how often would you, you know, go at yourself? Oh, 16 times a day. 16 times a day if I'm working. 32 if I'm today.
That reminds me of I was a witness to a wedding in France.
God, and this isn't a masturbation story, is it?
It is, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, my best buddy, there was a load of us who were witnesses because we all kind of turned up, and they were the best man. And then there were other lads who were just going to sign this. And in France, everything's got to be fucking signed by everyone. I nearly ended up marrying his wife, by the way, because I signed the wrong bit. Like, no. So we were all kind of nervous because you have to go to the mayor's office, first of all, to get married. And then you do whatever you need to do. So the photographer's there, and we're all in sort of like suits, and, you know, we've got the old, you know, dicky bows on and all this sort of stuff. And where, you know, nobody feels comfortable in that sort of gear. I don't anyway. And the other lads who were there certainly didn't. And it was hot, and we were in France, and we were loaded with wine at this stage. And it was all kind of like, fucking hell, get this over with and just go on the piss. Anyway, the photographer was making comments to the wife or the new bride, Nelly, who's sitting down, saying, get the lads to look at me, make them laugh, make them smile. So John, my buddy, turns around to us and goes, lads, when did you last have a wank? And there's a fabulous picture of the fucking six of us going, what the like looking incredulous and laughing at the same time.
That's I must remember that when you want to get a reaction. What a great question.
Yeah. Nothing like old people.
Nothing like wank talk at a wedding.
No.
Wang talk at a wedding. That's is that the Smiths?
That is Wang Chung.
Wang Chung. Listen, I watched the thing. Are you looking for something to watch?
Yes. Oh, yeah. What did we say? What was this? What's the check? Check it out.
Check
it out. What's it all about?
The Maid.
Oh, somebody would mention this at work.
It's starring Andy McDowell.
Oh, I love Andy McDowell.
And if you like Andy McDowell, this is a tour de force from Andy McDowell.
Oh.
She's brilliant in this film. She plays the mother of the main character and the grandmother of the main character's daughter. And The Maid, I pretty much binge watched it last night and I cried a lot. I basically spent yesterday evening, I stayed up until about 2 o'clock in the morning watching The Maid and crying.
Wow.
And thinking about life and how hard it is.
Wow.
People. Yeah.
Yeah, because somebody was saying it at work. Then they said it's called The Maid. And I thought it's like Upstairs, Downstairs or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not into a period drama now, you know? I'm really not into it. And they said, no, but you need to have your wits about you watching it. You need to be okay watching this program. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's a bit like, do you remember the one that we were talking about, the country music singer from Glasgow who wanted
Wild
to
Wild Rose.
To, yeah, Wild Rose. It's, in a weird way, it's kind of like that, but it's like Wild Rose taken to the fucking...
Next level.
Next level, you know? So, yeah, I highly recommend The Maid.
Check it out. What's it all about?
There's another thing I wanted to talk to you about, Mike. Just to get your thoughts on. I listened to a podcast called The Cryptid Factor.
Oh.
Do you know what a cryptid is?
A cryptid. C-R-Y-P-T-I-D?
Yeah.
Is it?
Cryptid,
No, I'm gonna embarrass myself if I say yes.
What do you think it is?
Cryptid. Is it like underground crypt or is it cryptic?
C-R-Y. So yeah, so it's cryptic, I suppose. It is, so basically a yeti would be a cryptid, an animal whose existence or survival is disputed or unsubstantiated, such as the yeti.
Okay.
So there's a great podcast called The Cryptid Factor, and there's a guy, Rhys Darby. Do you know Rhys Darby at all?
Nope.
He's a comedian. He was in, what the hell was that? A New Zealand Australian comedy it's gone from my head now.
What's his name?
Rhys Darby.
R-H.
He was one of the, you know, the Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
Do you remember that comedy, the comedy duo Flight of the Conchords, and they made a TV sketch show, whatever. And had songs, you know, about.
Oh, they did the song. Oh, Jesus, the song about. It's business
time.
It's business time. Yes,
business time. Yeah. So we got the Flight of the Conchords, and then Rhys Darby would be one of the other characters in their comedy stuff. You know, he's from New Zealand. His name is Rhys Darby. You'd recognize him, I'd say. You'd definitely
know. No, his name is Rhys Montague Darby. He's a New Zealand actor and comedian, known for his energetic physical comedy routines, telling stories accompanied with mime and sound effects.
You do know him. So he presents The Cryptid Factor, and it's him and a guy called Buttons and a guy called Dan Shriver. But Dan Shriver is Australian-English, and... he is part of another podcast, which is Size the Point. I think that's called No Such Thing as a Fish. But so he had this story. So they talk about like weird things that happen, and they love things like Yeti sightings or, you know, flying men or, you know, anything weird like that. That's what they talk about in The Cryptid Factor. So they have like weekly weird world news or whatever. And they just, it's really good podcast. Very interesting and very funny. Rhys Darby's very funny. So this week I was listening to it and Dan Shriver said that he was in bed with his son and his wife.
Okay. Ooh.
We're not going back to you bringing back two boys from the beach. He was in bed with his wife and his son, and his son suddenly was kind of like half asleep. And then suddenly he just sort of started talking and he said, I used to live with a different family.
Oh.
And he had like, he named like who his mother, what his mother's name was and what his name was and what his brother's name was and all this kind of stuff. And that he lived in a big house and basically a past life.
Yeah.
So he was talking about when I was alive before I lived with different people. And this kid is only three, you know, and he was just like sort of, you know, half asleep, half awake, just like chatting about. And just totally kind of freaked them out. They were like, oh, my God, that's mad, you know, because he seemed to have a lot of detail. He knew everyone's name. Yeah. And he said something like that. That was before I died the first time. And like Dan Shriver was saying, well, we'd never spoken to him about dying. He didn't. He's only three. It's not something we talk about. I don't think it's in his, you know, in his vocabulary, or, you know, it was the first time we'd heard him talking about dying. And lots of things. They were just like, oh, my God, this is fucking so weird. And yeah, he talked about having to leave that family and all this kind of, or they left him. But anyway. So it was kind of weird and they were talking about it. And then the guy tweeted about it. And then all these people were saying, yeah, my daughter, my child, my son, whatever said X, Y, and Z. Have you any experience, Michael, with your own Jimmy? Or have you ever heard of kids talking about past life experiences?
Never.
No. Is it something you would?
I wouldn't engage with it.
Yeah.
I just say it's a load of old bollocks.
There's a little bit of that in me as well. But my daughter used to say, Dad, do you remember when I was your granny?
Oh, fuck.
When she was very young, like two. I used to be your granny. That's kind of a weird thing for a child to say. And she didn't say it, like, it wasn't it once or twice. She used to say it.
But were any of your grannies passed by the time she was born?
Both of them.
Oh.
But I'm not saying, I mean, it's just a weird thing for a kid to say. And she just kind of just came out with it a few times. It was not that she just said it once. It wasn't like, oh, gobbledygook, you know, I used to be a granny. She said it like very sort of pointedly. And she was very young, you know. But yeah, she would just be very matter of fact. I do you remember when I was your granny?
Yeah, you see, I'm not.
You're a skeptic.
I am a skeptic.
A doubting Michael.
Yes, I'm very doubting of these sorts of things, really.
And that's okay. I'm not expecting you to.
Yeah, I do kind of think about karma, and I do think about, you know, the old Buddhists. There's lots of stories out there around the Dalai Lama, because he's reincarnated. Mm. So when they're choosing the new Dalai Lama, they put him in a room with the old Dalai Lama's stuff.
Yeah, and a few boys.
No, not that fucking solid stuff. No. So...
And you're friends with the Dalai Lama, so you would know.
A very good friend of mine, His Holiness, the penchant, is that a name for them? I don't know. There's a name they have, a Chinjinch or something. I can't know. Fuck knows. There's just vowels coming out of my mouth.
The Jinjin.
The second the second in command is a Chinjint or something. I don't know. Talking shit now.
That's okay. That's allowed. So you'd be a skeptic. Yeah, I mean, I would too. But it just got me thinking about death. And you know, you've obviously had a little think about death over the last few days.
Yeah.
That perhaps, I mean, I did hear this analogy of death where could you imagine like two babies, like there's twins and they're both in the womb and they're having a chat about, you know, do you think there's, you know, life after womb?
Yes. Go,
no, it's not fucking life after womb. This is it, man. This is all, this is it. And then, like, do you believe in mum? No, I don't believe in mum. Like, this is our whole universe here, you know. And then, like,
then all of a sudden you're being strangled by a vagina.
Yeah, but that's their death almost. You know what I mean? They don't believe there's anything.
Well, that is the very they say a lot of therapists say that birth is the most, it's the biggest trauma that you'll ever go through. And most things come back to your birth.
So what I'm thinking is when we die, that is another moment of where you go, you know, you're going to be born again into something else.
Yeah, but it's real though, isn't it? Because if you're a fetus and then you become a baby, you know, you're still the same physical form. You know, you could be talking about this and all of a sudden you're actually out there and you're in the world and you're the same. You're the same thing.
Mm.
So are we like chrysalising into something? Are we metamorphosizing into something? And why would we go back again? Have you seen the movie whose name I don't remember?
Yes,
on Disney that Graham Norton is in.
Is it the jazz one?
Yes,
Jazzy Jeff, Graham Norton and the two boys.
What's it called? Blues or something? Is it? Is it something like that? Or
yeah, it is blues.
Soul. It's called Soul. Of course, it's called fucking Soul. When you think about it,
I was saying jazz. Yeah, Soul. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but is that the sort of the premise?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Very good. It's quite dark for a Disney movie, even though you know that it's there on so many levels. It's that covers. You have a look at that movie. That'll sort it all out for you.
All right. You're fobbing me off. You're saying, go look at
no,
that movie.
No, I'm not fobbing you off at all. No. I do.
I'm not serious. I don't think you're fobbing me off.
No. It's my birthday. If I want to fob you off, you can fuck off.
Anyway, so I got thinking about it. I was like, yeah, this is just, it made me feel more comfortable about death because I was like, that's just another fucking moment of change. It's just another, it's like dying is like the fear of dying is like the fear of when you're standing on top of, or you're sitting in the cart at the top of a roller coaster, or you're about to jump off a 10-foot diving board. It's just that, it's just the fear of like, oh Jesus, that's that fear. But there's nothing to be, what I'm saying is, everybody, there's nothing to be scared about. It's going to be okay. It's just,
but why would you be scared? I'm not scared of dying necessarily.
Well, I think I would have been scared of dying. Yeah, I would have. Like, I used to, and I think this is to do it, like, before, in my past life, no, this life, but a previous version of myself, I was very stressed and anxious and probably a little bit, there's probably a touch of depression, but I didn't know it. But I used to think about death a lot. And I almost, like, I'd be in bed thinking about dying and almost having a panic attack.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Properly fucking like, oh, Jesus, fuck, I'm going to die. And like, my heart's racing and I'm like, I can't fucking, you know, and not being able to sleep and having to just get up. And like, I would have been, you know, very sort of, there's a bit in my play that I'm about to go on tour with in 2 weeks.
Ooh!
Where I talk about being young and a kid in my class dies.
Oh.
In the yard. And he took his last breath in my arms.
Oh, fuck.
And we were like in first year in secondary school. And I remember to this day where I'm down on the yard. We were playing football and he fell over and I just thought he hit his head. I thought he'd knocked himself out. So I picked him up and I was trying to, you know, bring him round. And I was like, somebody get the teacher, somebody, whatever. And I was holding him. But like, I remember he breathed like a big sort of, you know, heavy breath. One last time, you know, and it was only afterwards I realized that he died then, you know, but he.
No, there's no butt there. Jesus, that's big.
Yeah.
That's massive. Like that's fucking traumatic. No wonder you're so fucked.
but this is like, it's part of the play is where I talk about traumas and being traumatized by things. And the thing, when that happened, we were just sort of ushered out of the yard and back into class. And then like we were sitting in the class doing fractions and we heard the ambulance siren, you know, and that was it. I never really talked to anybody about it. No one ever really asked me about it because if you take yourself back to those days, Mike, and it's still the same to this day.
Oh yeah.
If I wouldn't want to be like why would you talk to anybody about that? Because you're just trying to put yourself, you're just being selfish and making it all about you, you know? Whereas I should have talked to somebody about it. But the way we were brought up was like, just fucking get on with it. Like, you didn't die. What about the poor family who lost their son?
Yeah.
And he's dead. Yeah. You stop feeling sorry for yourself. So you don't, you just don't deal. You just go, oh yeah, I just have to just get on with it. I don't want to be making it all about me or feeling sorry for myself, or, you know, if you're talking about, you're just looking for attention. That's the way it was, you know? But that's a big part of the play, is like how I felt about death as a kid, because it was kind of that happened. And then other kids died. Like, these two kids died from a family in our estate, one at the start of the summer and one at the end of the summer. And there was only three kids in the family. So there was just the mom and dad. Hell. At the end of the summer, they were left just the mom and the dad and the daughter, and their two boys had died. And I was saying about every night I went to bed, and I used to say that prayer.
Pray the Lord my soul
to keep. As I lay me down to sleep, I prayed to God my soul to keep, thinking genuinely that I could die.
Yeah.
In my sleep.
That's terrible. That's real anxiety. Like,
but
that's proper anxiety.
Yeah, but I'm only now as an adult realizing the anxiety I had as a kid.
Yeah, that's pent up. Like, that's going to stop you. I can fear. If that was me, I would like, oh no. I mean, I used to fear death purely from a painful point of view. I would hate to die because people say, oh, you got a massive heart attack. He died. Just think of the fucking pain.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much pain associated with death. If you get your head cut off, there ain't much pain. You know, lots of things are very quick. You can have slow and painful deaths or whatever, but we manage pain now. But so I'm okay with the whole death thing because I know it's not going to hurt, hopefully.
Mm.
That's what I hope for, that it's not going to be painful. But I certainly don't think, and I think there's a slight, now this is going to offend people.
That's okay.
Lack of, I don't know, confidence, or when you need to have something to think about, that there is something guiding me, and afterwards, that, you know, you're on a part of a journey. I think, I just think this is it. We're no different than an ant that you step on the ground.
Okay.
We can't think of ourselves. Just because we communicate and use computers and all this sort of stuff, just because we think about stuff, why does that give us the right to have a God or an afterlife or something? These constructs that we have, we are no different than any other species. Only because we have the ability to communicate and we've got opposable thumbs. That's pretty much. But other animals communicate and we don't know how they communicate. So, you know, I'll leave them to their own. I don't know what cats say to each other.
Meow, mostly. So you reckon you die and that's it?
Yeah.
It's a freak thing that happens. We happen to be like, learned how to walk on two feet and think and talk and make and invent things like computers. And that's
we have evolved. Yeah, we've evolved.
A weird, freaky thing that just happens. Yeah. And that's it. But when you die, that's it. Good luck.
Yeah, I don't, you know, and I don't.
I'm not saying, I'm not.
No, you're not disagreeing with me. But this is where I can't get the whole point of religion. And I really can't verbalize this. I have issues verbalizing why I don't like any, like people say organized religion. Say, pick a faith, pick any faith, right? Why would 100,000 people all think that the fella in the sky, because there are always men in the sky, pretty much, looks the same. He tells us to do things the same. And we make stuff up that makes us live his life the way he wants to do and call him a moral code or a compass or whatever. Why do we do this? And why do 4 billion people on the planet think that, oh, yeah, God and Jesus, that was all, it's all true, and they all believe in the same thing?
Mm.
I don't understand that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't understand that at all. Like, no. That's, but I do think that there's something else. But maybe I just need that for comfort. But yeah, I mean, I don't get religion. I mean, it was obviously, the sun, the whole God, Jesus, Catholic Church, and Christmas Day and all that came from the sun, the actual sun in the sky. So they just robbed all that and then made it into a little business that became profitable. And
We should just think about that in the pre-Christian times. Before God, we had before Christ, there were lots of things that people did, and they had to happen on the same days: festivals of lights and festivals of this and festivals of that,
yeah,
and darkness and whatever. Yeah, and they were, you know, to do with the moon and the stars and the sky and the way the earth is spinning through the universe, and that's it.
Mm.
But we've done that, and we've been able to communicate to each other over eons that this has happened. But this is all our evolution. We're no more evolved than a swallow is. A swallow gets born in Ireland and can fly back to a tree in Africa.
Yeah.
Or a house in Africa where it knows it can live for the rest of the winter.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we, you know, we're no different to them.
Yeah.
They've got their own story.
Where do swallows go after they die?
Probably get swallowed.
The big nest in the sky. That's what I like to think. They fly north.
the troposphere.
I just thought it was interesting. It was something I wanted to talk to you about: death and past lives and rebirths and dying. And
I don't find any comfort in it. It's funny, and I don't know whether that's me being miserable. And I'm not trying to say this just to be sort of, you know, in my younger days, I would have picked any side of an argument just to be a miserable git and sort of like piss somebody off. But now I don't, you know, as long as it's not painful, I'm okay with death. And I think I just disappear. And, you know, my legacy is my genetics. That's it, really.
Okay, right.
And I am legacy of genetics.
Well,
my mother sent me a birthday card today. Like if I thought we were having this conversation and brought in, you're a handsome, gorgeous, intelligent, whatever, and then it opened up the card because you got it from us. Happy birthday, mom and dad. And that, you know, that's that's life right there. And if you don't pass it on, you don't pass it on.
Yeah, you got genetics, and this podcast.
Yeah, well, the genes are their life. That's you know, we're passing that on.
Yeah,
that is the next life.
Mm.
Physically.
Okay, Mike. Okay. Yeah. It got heavy, didn't it?
It did. Got heavy, yeah. Well, kind of heavy, yeah.
On your birthday, I'm sorry.
On my birthday, which I'm going to call my death day. I'm going to die on my birthday, I'm sure. Fucking falls apart on my fucking birthday. Yeah. So I'm looking now to improve my health.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
Are you going to do my exercise?
No. I never did them.
What's the plan? What's the plan?
There is no plan yet. I gotta see how bad it is first of all before I start cutting everything out. And it says you gotta eat. Sally Ann started googling it, and it's fucking pulses and fruit and all that.
Mm, Mediterranean diet, man.
Getting yellow for fucking like the next 3 weeks
until you get used to it.
Purging myself.
Yeah. But you can but Mike, don't cut everything out. Just start cutting back bit by bit.
I know. the problem is I don't want to take the drugs.
Yeah,
you know, so I have to start cutting stuff out.
We could do like together. We could do like a let's not eat any more chocolates and like do it together. So we have like so we're not alone.
Yeah, I bought 24 cans of Carlsberg the other day.
drink them first.
And a bottle of red wine. I treated myself to a bottle of red wine for my birthday. I haven't drank wine for yonks.
Are you going to have it tonight?
Well, I don't know. You see, because if I drink it, then I fucking kill myself.
Oh, you'd be all right.
I'm literally no, but this is the problem. I'm thinking now. I'm fucking teetering. This is, you know,
you're a time bomb.
Yeah, this has hit me. This has hit me big stylee. And then you went for about death.
You went for a walk on the beach. You're grand.
I know. I'm actually feeling dizzy now as we speak. Funny enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
When do you get the machine and the results, and when will you know what the crack is?
Oh, by next week, I'm sure. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to check in.
Yeah, check it out. Check my butt. And if I do pop my clogs,
yeah,
you have my full permission to take my body on tour with you.
Oh, that'd be cool, man.
Yeah,
I could do a tour. I could do a tour of a show with just your dead body. Like, you know, the way, like when people, when famous, like, you remember the bones of a famous saint went on tour of Ireland. Do you remember that? I could just take your body on tour with me and it'd be like Mike's.
Yeah, you could get Padre Pio's knob. And then a Scorty.
I'd be touring the country with Mike's, your dead body, two big boys.
In a sarcophagus with a perspex lid on it. Oh, fuck. Actually, that reminds me of we went to the, the Museum of Forensics in Bangkok. We were stuck for something to do in Bangkok during the day. And we were on the tube train, the elevated tube. And I saw this thing. It's like, you know, come to the forensics thing in the hospital. So we went there and all life is there. So as you go into the back of the hospital, there were kids going through the yellow bins with all the body parts and the needles and everything in it. And they were picking out bits, looking for bits of gold on rings that had been whatever. I mean, that's poverty for you.
Yeah.
And then you had literally a queue of Buddhist monks with incense going over dead bodies that were coming out of the door we were going in. They were literally, one of the dead bodies was propping the door open on this little thing. And you walked in and you went up to this forensics thing. And it was just a room in a hospital, quite a big room where people would study forensics. And it's like, here's a picture of this motorbike accident. Here's a picture of the helmet. And here's the actual helmet. And here's the head that was in it. And it all in formaldehyde, and it scraped like a quarter of the skull through, and you can see the cross section of the brain and all this stuff. And this is a stab victim. This is the knife. This is the hand of the murderer that they'd fucking taken his hand off. And this is the chest of the person.
Oh my fucking God.
But they had a rapist. Speaking of this thing of going on tour with a body. So a glass case, like your grandmother would have with, like, you know, trophies of you in it, whatever, but there were no shells. So it's an upright glass case about 6 foot tall, and there was a gagged and bound body in it, and he was a rapist, and I think they cut his balls off and hung him and then just put him in this box, and he was petrifying almost, but there was a baking tray underneath him, and bits of him were kind of dripping into it. It's not fucking funny, but it's just like, we went back years later and we thought, right, we've got to take Jimmy there. Fucking loved it. Best museum ever to take a 7-year-old to.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. We have to dip a bit of bread into the rapist dripping.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Ah, delicious. Beautiful. Yeah. That could be the high blood pressure. It was
balsamic.
I'd lay off the rapist dripping for the high blood pressure. Oh, Mike, I should go and let you enjoy your birthday.
Yeah, we're having chips tonight. Big treat. Oh,
nice.
Chips. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I should be having chips. Because I cover them in Old Bay seasoning, which is salt.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Go for it, man. It's your birthday. And are they deep fried chips?
No, they're going to be oven chips.
Oh, we have an air fryer here. Very good. Really good for your chips. Yeah.
Tell me about the air fryer. Do they work?
Yeah, they're great. This is terrible. We're on our third air fryer because we keep burning them out because we use them so much. But yeah, your air fryer, you throw your sausages in there, you throw your rashers in there. I don't eat that kind of stuff, but I might eat a bit of fish, so you can throw your breaded fish in there for your fish tacos. You can chips, great for chips. Yeah, really, just really handy. And obviously, a lot of the food, I suppose, that you would put into an air fryer would be fatty in itself, but it's a healthier way to cook your stuff, and it's better than oven fried, you know, because it's not, because you get those shoestring chips. Do you get the shoestring chips in Aldi or Lidl?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You throw them in the air fryer, they're really nice. Nice bit of salt, bit of mayo. Yeah.
Actually works.
Yeah, yeah, really. Yeah, I would recommend it. Highly recommend it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, top tip. Yeah. Top tip.
Go for it. Aldi, Lidl, get your 50 quid or something for an air fryer. And you'll never look back, Mike. Never. Wow. never look back. That's my that's my birthday present to you, Mike.
Excellent. Okay, I'll expect to hear it, get it in the post.
I'm sorry, first of all, I didn't know it was your birthday present. Oh yeah, no, I'm not sending you the air fryers. It's me telling you the air fryers are good. That's my birthday present.
Oh, fuck you then.
First of all, I'm sorry I didn't know it was your birthday. Happy birthday.
That's okay. Why would you know it's my birthday?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Your birthday's in September. I only know that because you went on the internet and told everyone. You needy fuck.
Oh, what did he call it? It's like what do you call a baker? What do you call a baker? Something a needy fuck. There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah.
First of all, shout out to Fergal Burke, producer. Thank you very much, Fergal.
What a man. We'll do his song next week.
Mike is rehearsing. He's got a lot on his plate at the moment. He hasn't got time. But Fergal gave me his. He had a ticket for the match today. He had a spare ticket, and he gave me a spare ticket, so I got it.
What a man! Free. What a man!
What a great guy!
Yeah,
he's a legend. He's a legend. Yeah. He's
a lovely pair of legs.
Wonderful pair of legs. Yeah. Yes, and a great athlete as well.
Yeah, knees aren't great.
Handsome, well dressed man.
Yeah.
Great shoes. Always has great shoes.
Lovely. He does have nice shoes, actually. Yeah, he had some. I think I met him. He had some sort of brownie type of shoes on.
Oh, he could have anything. He could have anything on, but they're always. Mike, listen, I'm going on tour soon. We're going to try and keep this going, yeah, so we'll just keep in touch.
Yeah, we will do. We'll keep it going. Don't worry, we'll keep it going.
I'm teetering on the, like, do I take a couple of weeks off, I feel like, because from listening to you, Mike, I'm very bad at just focusing on one thing. And I think for the play, until we start, I should just focus on that thing. But I'm very bad at it, so I should probably just keep doing the podcast as well.
Listen, I think you don't work well at focusing on one thing because you can't do it. So let's not do that. Let's not put stuff up now. That's going into self-destruct mode.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm pointing at you. I'll just keep going randomly doing stuff. It'll all work out fine.
Mike, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Miss you.
Mike's blood pressure is fucking through the roof. It's fucking through the roof. He could die at any minute.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom.
Mike, mind yourself.
Beep.
Flatline, is it?
Yeah. Obviously not, because I'm still talking. Good luck.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.